A lot of what's going on in the ED is a manifestation of what's going on upstairs in the hospital.
You're listening to For the Love of Health, a podcast about delivering care and creating health, brought to you by Christiana Care. And now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everyone. I'm Megan McGurman.
And with a raspy voice, I'm Michael Chesney. Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Health, brought to you by Christiana Care.
Lengthy emergency department wait times are nothing new. It emerged as a national issue way back in the 1980s.
It's a challenge for every health system, including Christiana Care, home to the nation's 15th busiest emergency department.
Which leads us to this episode of The Toughest Questions in Healthcare. We're asking, why are emergency department wait times so long? To tackle that question, we're joined by Christiana Care Chief Operating Officer Rick Cumming and System Chief Medical Officer Dr. Kurt Anzalotti. Rick and Kurt, thank you both so much for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Recent data shows both Delaware and Maryland's emergency departments with wait times of 3.5, 4 hours, making them two of the top in the nation. You know, what is your response to that?
Whenever I think about service, and that's what we're really talking about here, and care, I automatically sort of first think about the Christiana Care way, our mission, right? And that's all about serving our neighbors. Nationally, emergency department wait times are really something that groups are concerned about and are looking to improve, and we're no different. Our Newark location, it's a level one trauma center. It's the only level one trauma center between Baltimore and Philadelphia, and so it's very busy. That said, we know that a wait of 3.5, 4 hours or more in an emergency department is not acceptable and something that we need to continue to improve.
What does that national conversation sound like?
It sounds a lot like the one we're having today. This is a national phenomenon and healthcare is local. Publicly reported data, CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services website data, really shows that Christiana Care, our performance in the emergency department waiting space, is comparable to similar sized hospitals in the metro region that we serve, particularly Penn and Jefferson. We're a very comparable facility.
Kurt, what are the factors that impact the wait time at EDs?
So there's a lot of factors that would impact your wait time. Some of them are obvious and specific to the ED. So how many people are coming in at that particular day or that particular time of day? What else is going on? Has there been a major car accident on 95 or is there some other population of patients that need immediate care? We have a very large stroke center at both our Newark and Wilmington campuses. Those patients do take priority because of the timeliness of that treatment. The other thing I think people don't always recognize is a lot of what's going on in the ED is a manifestation of what's going on upstairs in the hospital. For every patient that comes into the ED, we have to move a patient out. Some of them are going home after getting appropriate treatment. But several or many of them are going upstairs. They're being admitted to the hospital where they're going to get further treatment of whatever problem they're dealing with. So if we're having problems with outflow, meaning we can't discharge patients to SNFs, we can't discharge patients to rehab centers, there's capacity issues in the community. These are all things that kind of trickle through our organization and often manifest at the front door of the emergency department. So this is something that Rick's team and my team are talking about every single day, every hour of the day, trying to keep a firm understanding of what the flow restrictions are in the organization and making multiple efforts to, in a timely and appropriate way, move people through the organization, making sure they get the care they need, but also making sure that we're not over-utilizing inpatient hospital beds.
It's such a complex, multifactorial sort of experience, right? For every 10 patients that register in the Newark emergency department, 3 of them end up becoming admitted to an inpatient status, so requiring a bed upstairs, as Kurt mentioned. The challenge that all hospitals have been experiencing, and it's been exacerbated post-COVID, is the ability for us to discharge patients to what we call post-acute care facilities. So whether that's a skilled nursing facility, an inpatient rehabilitation center, those kinds of things, those services are severely limited. And so what ends up happening is that patients stay for extra long at Christiana, long after they're requiring to be in an acute care hospital. It might shock you to know that every single day between 15 and 20% of our available beds, so that's 200, 225 patients every day, are in the hospital waiting to be moved somewhere else and don't need to be in the hospital any longer. Add that into the already busy emergency departments, it just becomes a tough situation.
Many people who are coming through the front doors of the emergency department aren't necessarily thinking about those upstairs. They're thinking about, you know, the here and now. Walk us through the prioritization of who is seen first within that waiting room.
There are certain diagnoses that come into the emergency room that require immediate attention. Think about a car accident or, as Rick said, an acute stroke, where literally minutes count on the outcomes. Heart attack is another one that people often think of. The way we think about that is actually very standardized. So it's scientifically driven. It's evolved out of actually the military and how they prioritize patients during battles. And we talk about the ESI, so the Emergency Severity Index. And it's a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the most severe diagnosis, 5 being the least severe diagnosis. Our clinicians, doctors, nurses, everyone involved in the care of patients are thinking of the ESI of the patient and thinking, is this something that I need to do immediately? Is this something that can wait an hour? Is this something that, you know, doesn't really need emergent attention? Many of the patients that come to our emergency department every day are an ESI 4 or 5, the least severe on that scale. And in fact, if you're an ESI 5, you don't really need to be in an emergency room to get your care. But those patients take up space just like the stroke patients do. And we have to, once they're there, we treat them. We don't send anyone away. When we talk about that ESI ranking and our average wait times mm-hmm. that we are very aware of and looking to improve, if you're a ESI 1, ESI 2, and you have a very critical disease, you're not waiting right. at all. And, you know, we pride ourselves, if you think about our stroke program, where we're literally counting minutes to treatment and we are best in the nation. Or if you think about our trauma program, where people talk about the golden hour of a person who's had, you know, major multi-organ trauma needs to be treated within an hour. We are very, very proud of our performance in those types of clinical situations. Unfortunately, those things require a lot of resource and a lot of attention, and someone who can wait because they don't have a critical problem or disease will have to wait until we deal with those much higher acuity situations.
Are there medical implications to having a lengthy wait time in the ED?
We definitely want to make sure that we're giving everyone the appropriate care at the appropriate time. And we talked about the ESI. Patients do evolve and progress sometimes. So we have to keep an eye on them and make sure that they're not getting worse while they're under our care. All that being said, we are very proud of our outcomes. We are one of the safest hospitals in the country. Our outcomes are spectacular. And that's because we have a fairly robust process where we assess, diagnose, and take care of people in the ED. Again, we do have to keep an eye on people because you may have come in with a what looked like a lower acuity problem and you've progressed. We're very good at doing that, and we are very proud of the emergency care that we provide in the community.
What has Christiana Care done to help reduce wait times?
I'd like to think we've done a lot to reduce wait times, although we still have a lot of work to do. One point to note, when I first started at Christiana Care, we had 3 emergency departments. We now have 6 emergency departments. We recently added a dedicated pediatric department on the Newark campus. We have a 7th in the works. Expect to have that opened up in the community in the next year or so. We've also added 12 urgent care centers in the state of Delaware and in Maryland. Those are very relevant to this conversation because those are places where you can get appropriate care but don't need to go to the emergency room. So we've put a lot of resource into trying to fix this problem.
Christiana Care is a very data-driven organization. And we study arrival times, you know, when the majority of patients arrive, what the flow is like by hour of the day and day of the week. We track when the patient arrives to the first time that they see a provider, and if they're being admitted from the time the order is entered until the time the patient leaves to go to their inpatient unit. So we have a lot of metrics that we're able to measure ourselves against and do the improvement work necessary. It's one thing about ChristianityCare, we're a learning organization, and we don't run away from a challenge or an area where we need to improve and can improve. The reality about emergency department wait times and hospital flow is that a hospital in and of itself is not going to completely be able to remedy this. There are so many variables outside of our control that require help and support of the community, of our elected officials, and we have an important and collaborative relationship with our state legislature. And, you know, there is a long stay task force that is stood up, and it's actually a very effective group. It's comprised of elected officials, it's statewide, all of the health systems in Delaware, and looking to solve those problems about making the appropriate next level of care available to patients so that they're not taking up beds on the inpatient side when they don't need to. That type of smooth flow is so important to unlocking the emergency department itself.
Kurt, you referenced that both of your offices are talking about this every hour of every day. What are those conversations like as ChristianityCare works on being exceptional today and even better tomorrow?
I have a dashboard that I look at every day. It's the first thing I look at when I log on to my computer. I think that's probably the case for Rick as well. It has how many patients are waiting in our EDs. It has what's the overall volume. It tells me what the capacity looks like upstairs and gives me a snapshot of what the organization on our various campuses looks like. I also round on every one of our campuses every week and make it a point to go to our EDs. I was in our Wilmington ED this morning, and that's a place where you can see things the data wasn't showing you or that you weren't aware of, but where there's opportunities for us to improve and to make the experience better and the timeliness better. Every day, people that I work with and that Rick works with knows that one of our first questions is going to be about the EDs and the flow that starts in the EDs. And it really is a priority for our organization, particularly this time of year with the respiratory virus season, which is always one of the most challenging parts of the year for us.
What other opportunities are there, kind of obvious, low-hanging, maybe medium-hanging fruit that ChristianityCare, other health systems really could be or should be going after in the next few years to help reduce these numbers?
We are really making an effort, as Rick alluded to facilitate a situation where people who don't need to be in our inpatient beds or don't need to be in our emergency room have a safe place where they can go. So we have people who just don't have a stable home environment, don't have access to medications, food, social network. And the reality is our emergency rooms are, you know, their last option, and they live with us.
I think the long stay patient that was just discharged was over 900 days.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, a person who has lived in our building for 900 days, and you think the average length of stay, amount of time, the average that a person would spend if they were admitted to our hospital is somewhere around 5 or 6 days. You're talking about hundreds of people that were unable to utilize that bed because it was being used by someone who probably didn't really need it. And that's where some of those flow challenges start to show up in the organization.
When you multiply that by 200 to 225 patients a day, and it really becomes a math problem about where to accommodate.
Kurt, you mentioned someone who was a level 5 really doesn't need to be in the emergency department at all. where should that person go? How can the general public understand where it is they should go for certain illnesses or treatment needs?
In our efforts to be a good partner in people's care and take care of our neighbors, we've tried to come up with a number of education tools on how to address that. We do have a cheat sheet, for lack of a better term, that people can reference if they have a problem, they think they need to seek medical care, what's the most appropriate. We've made a significant investment in the community to expand the primary care network. We've opened up the urgent care centers, as I alluded to, a much less impactful, you know, the wait times are fractions of what you're going to encounter in our emergency rooms. But you can get very high quality Christiana Care level care at those sites.
I think I'd add two things there. So at our urgent care centers, they're completely walk-in. You don't need an appointment. But if you go online before you go and register, it's a placeholder. You don't have an appointment, but you've already registered, so you're in the queue. And I think to put some context around this, if you come to our emergency departments, we're going to take care of you. Of the 325 approximate number of patients that we see in our emergency departments every day, roughly 80 of them don't need to be seen in our acute care EDs. Adds to the problem.
Lastly, Rick, what is your message to our community about the caregivers that work in emergency departments?
I'll probably end where I began, and that is with the Christiana Care Way. We serve our neighbors as respectful, expert, caring partners in their health. Partners is I'm going to underscore here. The men and women who work in our emergency departments are people who have dedicated their professional career to caring for people in very dire circumstances. And often, the people who are working there are in really difficult spots too. I just feel it's really important to underscore to our neighbors that when they seek care in our emergency departments, to try and keep that in mind, that it's their neighbors that are taking care of them. Civility, kindness, and grace goes a long way.
Rick and Kurt, thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And for an easy to understand guide on choosing the best venue of care for yourself, emergency department, urgent care, or primary care office, check out the show notes for this episode at christianacare.org/podcast.
And while you're there, click on the links for Spotify or Apple and subscribe to For the Love of Health.
If you like the show, take a moment to leave us a review on those apps or connect with Christiana Care on social media at Christiana Care.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with another great conversation.
Until then, thanks again for joining us
for the love of health.